Hi, my name is Amy Reinicke, and I'm here to help you learn to love your body well. Love Your Body Well is a podcast designed to encourage women to find the beauty in caring for their bodies without obsession, guilt, and shame. We are ditching the perfection mindset and embracing the season of life you are in, all while figuring out what works best for you on your wellness journey. Join me for weekly episodes as we navigate this journey together, and let's start a revolution of women who are focused on wellness while also being compassionate and kind to their bodies. Are you ready to love your body well?
Merry Christmas. I hope that you are having a beautiful day celebrating with your loved ones. And I just am wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And what a gift this podcast has been over the last year. And I am just so thankful for each and every one of you who hit play every single week and take a listen. And just from the bottom of my heart, thank you for the gift that you've given me by embarking on this really, really fun journey for me. Today, I get to share a podcast episode that was actually released privately with Katie Ressler. She hosted an event called The Balance Code for the Empowered Woman, and she gathered about 15 of us speakers to share with her community and teach on different topics. And the topic that I taught on was loving your right now body. I'm really excited to share this interview with you. And if you like what you hear, then you can follow Katie. She has a podcast as well, and it is called The Balance Code. You can also find her on episode 58 of the Love Your Body Well podcast. She joined me on that particular episode to talking about false beliefs and grief with your body. It was a really, really great conversation that if you haven't listened to already, I would just highly encourage that you do so. So I really hope that you enjoy today's episode and enjoy this last week of the year. We are headed into a brand new year, and I just hope that you are feeling inspired for a new year, and we're going to get there together. So Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for being part of this community. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the Balance Code for the Empowered Woman Summit. I am here with Amy Reinicke, and we're going to be talking about how to love your right now body. Amy, thank you so much for being here, for being a part of this summit, and sharing your wisdom today.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So, Amy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who do you serve? What do you do? And where are you doing it from?
Yeah. So I'm Amy Reinicke, like Katie said, and I live in Kansas, and I have had kind of this tumultuous relationship with my body since I was actually in fourth grade, and it's kind of ebbed and flowed in college. I got my Bachelor of Science in Health Promotion, but really haven't ever felt like I had like a way to use that because there was a lot of insecurity that I was dealing with under the skin, to be honest. And it's just really been in the last 5 to 8 years that I've had a platform. I have a blog, and I started my own podcast in 2022, and really giving a voice to women who are just like me, because I don't think that my story is unique. I think it's actually more mainstream than I wish it was, to be honest. I think a lot of women suffer silently with the way that their body looks or the way that they might feel. And it inhibits them from living their life to the fullest. And as I have gone through life, what I've realized is we have two choices. We can either embrace your right now body and do the things that we want to do with the body that you currently have, or we can wait on the sidelines of our life and we can watch all the things that we want to do pass us by. And my choice is to get in the game and not wait on the sidelines. I have 3 kids. And so that's a really, really important thing for me, is to just be active, even if my body right now isn't feeling 100% its best, or if it doesn't look the way that I think it should look or I want it to look, that's okay. It still deserves to be loved and cared for. So I blog about it. I have a podcast. I'm also an integrative nutrition health coach. I just haven't started taking clients yet, but if you connect with me on my blog or podcast, when I do start taking clients, you'll be the first to know.
I love how you framed it, that it was this, like, I was tired of being on the sidelines of my life. Mm-hmm. And often when we're on the sidelines of our life, we're watching everybody else run around. So what seems confidently,
yeah.
But in the background, we're all struggling with body image and how we feel in our bodies post kids, post non-kids. As you age, I think this is very normal. So Amy, what are you noticing that women are struggling with, particularly nowadays with social media, with influencers, and with, you know, there was a phase of fad diets, and now I find it's like fad detox, fad workout, everything that makes us continue to feel like our body's not enough.
I think the main thing, so I'm 41, and I think something that I see a lot of in my age range is this kind of this fear of aging a little bit, like this fear of our bodies changing and this expectation that the way that we looked when we were 19, 20, 25 is the goal. And I do think that that takes a lot of work to understand that your body is meant to change. It's meant to shift up and down, you know, and I think that people, especially like around my age, I think that they can really lean into that thought because we grew up in the fat-free era. We grew up in Jane Fonda and all of that. And like you were supposed to bounce back. You were supposed to do all these things. Like we had Suzanne Summers and all these things that were telling us, this is what it looks like to age. This is what should happen. This is the measure of success. And it is to get that baby weight off right away. Most of our moms were dieting probably, and it had some type of an obsession with the scale. And that was just normal for us. So now we've come out of that. Some of us have come out of that and realized that the overfocus of the scale and weight actually is kind of detrimental to our mental health. And it's time to start looking at this from a different lens of wellness instead. And I myself have a hard time with the body positivity thought process because I still believe we should chase wellness. Like we should go after what makes our bodies feel good and feels well. And I think sometimes those waters get a little muddy with body positivity. And that's a really tricky space to be in that I've had to navigate myself because I am in a larger body right now as well. And knowing that I do feel better in a smaller size. So I think first and foremost, it's okay to say to yourself, if you want to lose weight, it's okay. I want to just say that because I think right now we're in a day and age that we're being told we should never want to lose weight. But I think that's almost just as detrimental to me as the opposite way of thinking. The reason being is if you're in a body that feels physically uncomfortable, maybe you're dealing with inflammation, maybe your joints hurt, maybe it's hard to get up off the floor and play with your kids. Maybe you can't fit in a seat at a roller coaster or something like that. Who are we to tell you that you shouldn't want better for your life? I can't really do that. Like you have to make that call. My only caveat is if you want to learn to love your right now body the very best way, you have to do it from a place of self-love and self-compassion and give yourself a lot of grace in that process. And that looks very different than dieting, in my opinion.
Totally. I was just thinking about, so I'm 39 and you and I have had this discussion prior to us recording that the women in magazines, the teenagers in magazines when we were teens were like the Paris Hilton, the Lindsay Lohan, yeah. We're both from the States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all had the stick thin eyebrows and we were told we needed to be stick thin as well.
Yes.
And I was just thinking about there's no other part of ourselves that we would want to go back in time. We don't want to be less wise, mm-hmm. less educated, less in our personal growth journey, but we want our bodies to go back in time. That is, that's crazy. Like what?
It is. It is. But I think it's because we're told that our bodies aren't supposed to change. I mean, I can remember when I started my first diet in fourth grade. I started my first diet when my body was going through puberty and I thought it needed to change. So since the age of 10, I had told myself, oh my gosh, when my body changes and it looks different than it maybe had in the past, I need to get it back to where it was before because it's wrong. So we slap this label on it of if your body changes, that means it's wrong. Those labels need to be removed. They need to be pulled out of the equation. And as women, we have to learn to give ourselves more grace to know and understand. Look at our mothers. Look at our grandmothers. Their bodies changed. And I think the older that we get, for the most part, most women can kind of lean into who they are a little bit easier than we can, you know, in our 20s, 30s, 40s even. I'm hoping as it gets older, women start to realize, I don't really care anymore. Like I'm tired of being so hyper-focused on my body and living my life like as a slave to the scale. My hope and dream actually is to help women understand that a little sooner, to where they are not robbed of the joy of their lives because they're so focused on how they look and thinking that they can't show up in this world the way that they would like to simply because of their size of their body.
I'm finding it really interesting as you and I are going into the world of perimenopause, because we're in the early beginning stages, right? And so I'm sure you as well are already starting to see some of the shifts and changes.
Yep.
That there's grief. There's a lot of grief in that, in the changes and the shifts. So before we get into how do we start to love our right now body, let's claim the grief that's there.
Yeah. I think that that's really important. I think there's a lot of times you can kind of look back and say, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I could go back to that circumstance. I don't know if everybody has a circumstance, but my body drastically changed in 2008 when I was finally diagnosed with binge eating disorder. And in therapy, I gained 100 pounds in that year. And I was on a lot of different medications. And honestly, that year was a pivotal shift in my health. My body has never been the same. I have struggled with weight loss since that time. I have been a yo-yo dieter, up and down and up and down. And it was all because I went to get help for my eating disorder for the first time. So there is definitely some grief there that if I could go back today to my 41-year-old self and talk to that girl, I would say, let's do this in a gentler way. I still want you to get help, but let's do this in a much more gentle way than the way that you're going to do it, and prevent that like large swing. And that's just my story, but everybody has their own story. I'm sure that everybody looking back can look at, they can think of one or two times that they would go back and they would say, oh, if I could change that, I bet things would have progressed differently. And I think we can give space to that, but the real goal is to not stay there. The real goal is to acknowledge it, acknowledge the grief, acknowledge the pain that that time might have been, forgive yourself for making the choice that you did at that time, knowing that it was the best possible choice that you made for yourself at that given time, and know that everything that came thereafter was just part of the journey that was meant to be there, and lots of forgiveness.
Yeah, definitely the forgiveness piece. You know, I was just reflecting my own journey, and I've always been slim, so I've always been body shamed.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends made fun of me. All of the neighbor kids would use me as the point of reference of making fun of the bigger kids.
Mm-hmm.
And even in motherhood, I mean, man, it's so easy for people to immediately be like, oh, well, you, or oh, look at you. And you're like, wow, this is actually shaming me.
Yes.
I have had my own grief process of loving my body and knowing my body is safe and okay and not a tool to hurt other people. And
yes,
that grief process really hit me in the last year. I shared about it in a newsletter 6 months ago and had huge response of a lot of women who said, oh my God, that's exactly what happened to me. And I never knew how to put it in words. When you are shamed for your body, no matter what size you are, and your body feels unsafe because it can be a tool to ridicule others, to ridicule you, like the body itself becomes this tool. There's a big grief process in there. So I love that we're able to share. There's these different, not a spectrum at all. It's different sides of what the grief can show up as, whether you want to go back and change something or you want to go back and tell yourself your body's not a tool for bad things and hurtful things.
Mm-hmm.
This is other people's pain, right? This is other people's issues, so that we can grieve now. And now at 39 and 41, start to step into loving our right now body. What are the tools and tips you're teaching others right now to do that? And even practicing yourself.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, it's kind of stepping outside of the scale a little bit. I'm not telling you that you can never get on the scale. I'm not telling you that I never get on the scale. But I think that there's a time and a place, and you have to have a real honest conversation with yourself and how you feel when you step on it. If you step on the scale and that's your determinant for whether it's going to be a good or a bad day, I would encourage you just to take a break from it. Like, your worth is not wrapped up in that number. If you're using it as data, if you're using it as a tool, and you can get on there with a very neutral feeling, then I think it's fine. I'm not going to be one that's going to tell you that all scales are all bad all the time. I can't work in black or white thinking as much anymore because I lived there for a really long time. Most people with eating disorders do. They live in that black or white thinking. So that would lead me to another place, is let go of black and white thinking as much as you can. Invite the gray area into your life. Because what happens when we are so perfect and we restrict the things that we love and we are always just on the straight and narrow, at some point we're going to crumble. And I'm not telling you to invite crumbles into your life every day, but I'm telling you to allow yourself to live your life in a way that feels pleasing and joyful, and you're not laying your head on the pillow every night and you're starving and you've overworked your muscles and you honestly hated your day because you didn't do anything that made you happy. That I truly believe, and diet culture tells us something different, but I truly believe that we can have both. We can have this joyous, full life, and we can take care of our bodies as well. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think that that's the lesson that more of us need to get out there in the world. That's so important, because it's not to say that you can't ever go to dinner with your friends or have a margarita or eat a piece of cake. I mean, that those are things that we have in our lives that are joyful, that we enjoy. They're meant to be enjoyed. But I think that we've been told for so long that if you have the margarita with your friends, if you go out for tacos and queso with your girlfriends or with your husband or whatever, you've fallen off the wagon. Everything that you've done and everything you've worked for is gone. I just want to tell you that no one meal makes or breaks your life in any good or bad way. Like, not all the progress that you need to make is going to happen in one meal. And all the progress that you have made isn't going to be undone in one meal either. So I think grace has to be given to yourself as you are navigating this journey. I think it's a really, really important piece to know, what are the things, maybe this looks like taking some notes and writing some things like, what are my non-negotiables? Like, what do I not want to give up? What are things that if I had to give these things up, I would feel restrictive. I would feel like that's unfair. And look at that list and just be honest with yourself. I'm going to use wine during the week as an option. I don't drink a ton, but it's one that a lot of people can tend to relate to. So like, if you found yourself like drinking most nights of the week, even if it's just like a glass of wine, I would just ask you, I'm not telling you it's bad. I have no idea if it's bad. I would just ask yourself, how do I feel after this glass of wine? How do I feel in my body? How do I feel when I sleep? Can I sleep as well? Do I wake up in the morning and how do I feel? And then I want you to compare it to a night that you might not have the glass of wine and ask yourself, how do I feel? How do I feel in my body? How did I sleep? How did I feel the next day? And you can use that with a number of different things. I'll use an example for myself. Dairy is something that I really want to be able to eat. And my body has just flat out said, no, I feel a huge difference in my body when I eat dairy. I just don't feel great. And I went dairy free for like 3 years after being diagnosed with my autoimmune disease. And then last year, I was like, I think I'm fine. And so I incorporated dairy back in and all the pain came back and I've just not felt great for the last year. So here are the last couple months. It's been this kind of surrender again to my body and saying, I'm going to take care of you. This is a sacrifice because I love queso. Like, a lot of people love queso.
Girl, I get you. Yes.
But it really comes down to, how do I love my right now body? My right now body does not feel good when I eat dairy. I feel pain and inflammation in my joints. I feel immensely better not having it. And so I have to look at it very differently from a restrictive standpoint, that I'm restricting this to lose weight. And it is more, I'm restricting that from my life at this current moment in time, because that is what nourishes my body the best. That is how I can show up in my life in the best possible way. That is how I can get on the floor and play with my kids a little bit easier. That is how I can wake up in the morning and feel a little bit more energetic. I had gotten to a point I was needing to nap during the day and wondering what is going on. And all of a sudden I removed it. It's been like 3-4 weeks now again, and I have a lot more energy again. And so I think we just have to lean into those things that can feel kind of challenging. And I'm not telling you that dairy is the thing for you. It can be a number of different things, you know, but ask yourself, you know, when you sit down to a meal, does this meal make me feel nourished? Does it make me feel energetic when I'm done? Or do I feel bloated and uncomfortable? And just, I think that when we can really tune in to how our body feels, our body has the answer waiting for us. It's just, we have to allow our mind to catch up to the signals and the signs that our body is very gently kind of nudging us and saying, hey, I don't like this. Or, hey, I really like when you do this. Like, If there's a workout that you're always sore after, try something different. Try something new. For years, I tried to be a runner. I finally, like 7 years ago, was like, that hates my body. Like that really does a number on my body. Why do I continue to try to make myself a runner when there's all these other workouts out there that I actually really enjoy doing and I'm not in significant pain when I get done doing it? So I hung up my running shoes and I'll be honest, I haven't missed it like ever. So think about those things too. It's not just nutrition. It's not just exercise. There's a lot of different things that you can kind of fill in the blank there and ask yourself, how do I feel physically when I make that choice? And just play around with it. Just take notice of it. I often say, get curious. Be curious without judgment. So ask yourself, how do I feel? Write it down. You might see some answers that you wish you didn't see, like I did with dairy. But I think it's leaning into this and then asking yourself truly, how do I want to feel? And I want you to chase that feeling more than I want you to chase that number on the scale. And I think when you can have that very fluid relationship that you are coming home to your body and you're asking yourself, what do you need to feel your best? Even if that looks different than what you've always done, I think that's how we get to that point of truly loving our right now body.
This has been wonderful. And I think something that you brought up the word sacrifice a couple times. And I think as women, we need to have a better relationship with that word. Mm-hmm. I understand why we don't, especially as moms.
I know.
I understand why we don't.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a sacrifice in a good and beautiful and healthy way. Mm-hmm. I am going to sacrifice sugar or gluten or dairy in your case, dairy in my case too, or alcohol or whatever it may be to love on my body because what it needs is not to have those things in it. Or I need to do more, you know, stretching or yoga or things like that versus the hard cardio at this time, or as we age, more of the muscle building than the cardio, right? We must see that this word sacrifice, as Amy is bringing up, is not a sacrifice. Yep. I don't know another word for it. Like give this up because you love this more. I don't know. Like figure out what works for you, but that terminology, get in a better place with it because it is about loving your right now body. And your body will say thank you in its own way. And it's almost listen to the whisper before it becomes a scream.
Yes.
I have a feeling a lot of the people listening to this, though, are in that land of almost screaming, you know, where things are like, oh my God, this is bad. This is bad. Inflammation, whatever.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can make steps right now and show your body that you love it now. You have had amazing tips, and I hope people will go back and listen to this and grab a pen and paper and start to write these down because it's stuff that we almost need on a sticky note, like first thing in the morning, right there at the fridge, every bathroom mirror in the house, right? Like, and remind ourselves and everybody else in our home and our friends too. Give yourself that grace. How do you want to feel?
Yeah.
And what are you willing to let go of in order to feel that way? Because the feeling can be long term and not just, oh, I felt good for 30 minutes after that one thing, but this could be a daily feel good.
Yeah. Something I want to say before we end on the sacrifice. You're either sacrificing how you feel or you're sacrificing something that you might think that you can't live without. And so you kind of have to really get honest with yourself. Once again, get curious. Because if you're making the choice, like if you know that something that you're doing, if you know that it leads your body to not feel good, you're sacrificing peace and joy in your body. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there, or, you know, two sides of the coin that you can look at there. But I think choosing to not be resistant to it and instead just getting curious with that feeling and yes, kind of letting go of any old labels that we have with the word sacrifice, I think could be a really healthy step towards healing.
Definitely. Thank you, Amy, for sharing your wisdom and giving us so many great tips. Again, let's go back and listen, everybody. Write these things down so that we can remember the things like letting go of black and white thinking and really thinking outside of the scale, removing that as your equation to body health right now and really listening and tuning in. I really appreciated this.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Love Your Body Well podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review and let me know what resonated with you the most. This helps more people connect to the show and allows me to continue encouraging women just like you. I love when you share episodes that impacted you on social media or with your friends and family. It truly helps spread the word of compassion and kindness that all women need more of. I invite you to continue the conversation with me on my blog, loveyourbodywell.net, or on Instagram at loveyourbodywell. Thank you for being here today. I know you have a lot of podcasts to choose from, and I'm honored that you listen to mine. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not intended to provide a diagnosis or replace medical care.